Blog Talk Radio.
Some of the guests on this podcast will express their viewpoints based on their own research, and those views aren't necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Cursed Net, Breakthrough Radio, or its affiliates. This podcast will also be available on iTunes under the keyword Cursed Net.
Hello, everyone. My name is Byron LeBeau, and welcome to Cursed Net Breakthrough Radio. Today is Monday, July the 27th, 2009. And before we entertain Joe Jordan and his unexpected and what might prove to be a very interesting and exciting guest by the name of Tara, I would just like to make a few announcements as well as clarifications about last week's program. Firstly, last Monday evening, one Patty Heron graced our presence, communicating all the way from Ireland, regarding his understanding of the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the whore of Babylon, all of which proved to be very provocative. I was subsequently informed by the co-author of our book, The Cursed Net, one Richard Stout, who had spent over 18 years familiarizing himself on these same subjects, is right now preparing his understanding of these same three subjects using scripture, history, and keyword analysis. And this information should be ready in essay form before the end of the year for possible roundtable discussion. And secondly, I do not normally comment on the side issues of what transpires during a given interview with a person, especially if they have a different point of view than I hold. But when someone totally disagrees with my position, I do feel a responsibility to clarify for a listening audience that position, especially when it comes to the mother of Jesus Christ. So for anyone interested, I posted on my website on this post, July 22nd, Reflections on Mary, the Mother of God, so anyone can at least perceive why I believe the way I do on this very sensitive issue. And thirdly, on my July 23rd post, Dr. Stephen Mulish, who has been a guest on this program, had written a timely article that revolves around the issues we speak to on this radio program, and it is called UFOs and Visitor Linked to Souls and Afterlife, a Christian Rebuttal. The link to it is right there on the website. I have just finished another incredible book, colorfully illustrated, exposing the myriad flaws of evolution by 22 well-respected life and physical scientists, most of whom have advanced degrees in their respective fields. It is called The Genesis Files, and it is written in such a way as to be not only visually appealing, but contextually easily understood. The editor is Carl Weiland, and you can find the book by going to masterbooks.net. And now, and finally, is time, as is our custom, for Joe Jordan to say a few words and introduce our next guest. And if I am not mistaken, someone who will be exposing the spiritual emperor's new clothes. And Joe, I bet you can't wait to begin, but before we do, Tara thought it would be a good idea to start with a prayer. Would you like to lead?
Yeah. Yes, and I can see that it's probably well needed right now to carry this show on through for the next hour.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to bring another powerful witness on to glorify your name and the power and love that you have for people who are going through the oppression of the enemy. We ask that you bring a hedge of protection around this radio show and around the host and around Greg the manager and around Tara as she comes on to speak her testimony of being involved in this phenomenon and the things that it's taken her through and the truth that she's been able to share with others. And thank you for this opportunity to have this show, and we know there's people out there listening tonight that need to hear this word of truth and need to understand that these entities that are affecting them in their lives is just a part of the most powerful deception ever to come upon humanity. And we ask you to guide us, protect us, give us the words that need to be said tonight so that we can help those in need. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Joe, that was well needed, I'm sure. I reflect when you say a prayer like that, that we've had some problems before on this program as far as technical things that go wrong and interference and sudden cutoffs and strange voices sometimes. It just goes on and on and on. But to me, it comes with the territory of spiritual warfare. And I know because of the fact that we have somebody on tonight, an unexpected guest who, to my mind, is filled with all of these things that revolve around the subject of spiritual warfare. In the case of Tara, and she certainly will speak to her for herself about this issue, it started in the womb, you know, and it revolves around very ritualistic, satanic things that go on, unfortunately, in our world, this world of darkness that Jesus Christ came to throw a mighty light upon. But I think what people are going to hear tonight, and I didn't rehearse this, but I have read people like Susan Ford, for instance, and her story, if anybody out there ever read it, you know, Thanks for the Memories. Well, I think we're going to be putting forward in Tara a person who has gone through similar types of experiences. Everyone's experience is a little bit different than another's and unique in many respects, but this is the type of program we're going to be offering the listening audience tonight. So I'm not going to be at all surprised at any interference, because this is going to be important stuff. Now, because Tara, and welcome, Tara, to the program, I'm very delighted that you were able to bear witness to your particular story tonight.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm here to do it. And this is my first time speaking out and speaking the truth about what I've actually been through. And
yes,
I have stayed... kept my light, I guess you could say. I did it, not that I always was keeping it covered, but I have not come out, even though I have been saved and been struggling this battle. I have not come out and rebuked publicly many of the things that I have understanding of, because of the fact that I was fearful for myself and my safety and the safety of my family. And I have not read Susan Ford's book. However, I have a friend who mentioned it to me and said that I should read it, and I would feel akin to some of her experiences. And if she's experienced fights for her mind and her capacity to make decisions, the rights to use her body the way she wants to use them, what she wants to put in her body, actually being bargained for her mind and her soul and her body on black markets between extraterrestrial entities, demonic entities, yes, I do have something in common with her. And if she felt that these entities were actually using modern technology to access some of these deals and control systems, and that these control systems are set up throughout our society and our technology and embedded in things that we think are innocent and used by handlers, you know, people on laptops, yeah, that happens too. There are fallen angelics who do not need laptops. There are people who are not fallen angelics, who are just sick and twisted, and they use laptops. That's my understanding of what's going on.
Yes, right. We call them there are expressions used for those type of people. They're called Muppets or Puppets.
They're body sacks. They're basically controlled and invaded on so many levels of their minds, their consciousness, even their desires, their impulses for food and sex, even. They may not know it, but they are completely controlled devices. And puppets is exactly the term, because it's not like there's one puppet master either. That's when your hands, when your life is in the hands of God, that's when you have one person with the creative control over your life. That's the beauty and the testimony of Christ. But when you have whomever the devil sends to pull your strings and tug at you and send things from all directions, this is chaos. And it's the designer of chaos, and it's the master of confusion that is behind this whole charade to begin with. And this is why whenever you go into this field and you're looking for answers, you're just bombarded by conflicting information if you're looking at it from a spiritual perspective and you're not looking at it from the perspective of having the Holy Spirit and the Word of Christ.
By the way, Tara, in the short bio that you had sent us, and we normally post it before the program so that the listening audience gets at least a little bit of an idea of where you're coming from. Because of the lateness of the hour, this post should be up during the hour or at least shortly after the hour. But I was taken by two things you said. And before we get into any specific questions, I just would like you to address it, because it will be posted so that people who don't understand what this means, you'll be able to explain it. Now, one of the things that you had mentioned in this short bio was that the Kennedy Space Center Right Stuff Award was actually given to you. Mm-hmm. And my question is, exactly what is this Kennedy Space Center Right Stuff Award?
Did you ever see the movie in the 80s called Space Camp? And the kids go to space camp and they shuttle space. Yeah, a lot of kids my age would have seen it. Anyway, I went to space camp at the Space Center, and I went over summer with a bunch of other children. And basically we all competed for the right to be awarded at the end of the session. And we had a big ceremony. All the parents came and stuff. And I was the one who was selected out of all the children at the camp. And when I went up there and achieved the medal, the space shuttle actually went off that day. And that was always, like, such a great omen to me. And it was so important to me because of the fact that this was a really coveted award in this camp.
Right.
And it always means something to me for the fact that it's rare. It's not something many people can claim. And not only that, that darn Kennedy Space Center, I tell you what, if that isn't the source of many of my headaches, then I don't know what is.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other story in itself, another episode.
Okay. And I assume this happened like in the late 80s?
Yeah, about 1986.
89.
I was about 11 or 12. Yeah, it had to be 89.
Okay, good.
But anyway, it's a prestigious award in the community of young astronauts, kids who would have been wanting to go into space and grown up in the 80s with that desire to go into space would have really wanted the opportunity to go to space camp and have that experience and then be selected for that and have that. And it's just something that I'm really proud of.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you cleared that up. Okay. And I'll be able to, if I wanted to view that particular movie, Space Camp, I would be able to do so.
I think what the important thing is, the reason I put that in my testimony is because when I went to Space Camp, I was selected out of all those children as being not just the best mathematically, not just the best aeronautically, not just the best intuitively with the flight simulations or the training equipment. I was best all around. I was gifted and I was intelligent beyond expectation. And what is the sickest part of this agenda is the fact that people who have legitimate spiritual battles going on, their families and the generations before their families have been systematically conditioned to believe that symptoms of spiritual battle and also symptoms of being filled with the Holy Ghost are symptoms of mental illness, and they should make you be someone who should be ignored or swept to the side or sedated or not listened to or discredited. And I imagine and I know that when I come out and I begin to speak the truth for the kingdom of Christ, everything that I have been through and done is going to get put through the ringer. And the one thing that really ticks me off the most is when someone wants to discredit my ability to make intellectual or rational deductions. based on reality and factual evidence and things in front of me that I'm experiencing based on experiential knowledge. And it really pisses me off to no end that in this world, we have taken away the fact that experiential knowledge is the one type of knowledge we should always treasure. You know because you were there. And this is the one type of experience that we have taught our children and our parents have been taught by their parents and the doctors and the psychiatric community. You know, for generations they have been programmed and taught to believe that these types of things are symptoms of someone who just can't get it together. It is not. It is interference. It is a war for the person's mind.
Sure.
And my intelligence and my ability to rationalize and to deduce what is real and what is not real has been under attack by the enemy. And that is that one thing that really, 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 that was a strong point for me before this battle started. And anyone who knows me knows that this battle got so bad when I stepped into the occult world myself based on my own personal choices when I was 13 and got into a cult of older boys. And we were doing practices with vampirism and all sorts of satanic stuff. And they saw my mind deteriorate. And this is why. It's not because I can't cope with reality. It's not because I can't deduce reality. It's because how could you if you have demons twisting and fragmenting your mind? Taking control, using you, you know. So this is what Christ has given back to me. And this is the gift that I will have to show the world.
Sure. And, well, what I have, I have talked to you for extensively, and I get the feeling that Jesus picked the right person in order to, and I don't want to use the word, because, you know, they use this in movie talk, you know, payback time, you know, and it's almost like a tit for tat, but from a spiritual point of view, it's simply telling the truth, the way the truth should be told, and not
what is the
stifled.
Truth?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, now let's get to that. Now, the second thing that came up in your short little bio, I thought would be a very good general way to start off where you can just sort of like very slowly move into this subject because there's a lot of layers to this, and I call it like more of a multiple dimensional type of process that we have to go through here. We may not even have the time to do it in an hour, but let's start off here because you did mention it. At age six, for instance, you experienced what they call ritual magic and were assaulted by high-level Satanists.
Yes,
and
I was.
You were
this
so
is one,
young.
Yes, yeah. I was so young, and this is one subject, this particular area I do not want to share at this point in too much detail because of the sensitivity level of it and my family.
Gotcha.
I have never told most of my family about this because it's something that is so difficult. You know, nobody wants to have to tell people that they love that something terrible happened to them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't want to expose the gory details about that personal experience, and that's not what my testimony is about. However, I went to, just to sum it up, I went to a gymnastics camp, for a summer gymnastics camp at a local hotel, and we were staying in hotel rooms, you know, the girls who went to the camps and went to gymnastics together with each other, and it should have been a very safe place for us to go, and my parents felt very comfortable with the you know, the owners of the gymnastics. They'd known them for quite a while, so it should have been a safe place to go, but it wasn't. In that hotel, there was some sort of conference being held where groups of occultists were meeting and staying at the same hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was identified, chosen, selected. I don't know how or why they came up with me. The only thing I can deduce, once again, is that this goes back to even the womb. This goes back to predestination. This goes back to bringing in the kingdom. This goes back to our calling and our election and our predetermination in Christ. And, of course, the enemy knows who we are, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I don't, you know, that's the only thing I can understand. Why did it happen to me? Well, it was a terrible thing. Yes, it happened to me, and yes, it exposed me to a level of spiritual battle and existence that I should have probably never would have been exposed to had that not happened. Maybe when I was 13, I would have not been so easily you know, or the doors wouldn't have been opened for me to just go boom right into something like that when I came from a Christian home and was, you know, went to church and was filled with the Spirit and I knew the Word of Christ as a child, yet I was snatched away over and over and over again. But I was exposed to some pretty heavy stuff at such a young age. The people who were conferencing there would call themselves, at least then they did call themselves Orthodox vampires. I don't really know what that correlates to now
Orthodox.
In these vampires.
Orthodox vampires as opposed to what?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying. I don't know what that means. That's what they call themselves. And they're deluded reality. That makes sense to them.
Oh, I see.
So, but this is the thing. The kingdom of doom has a hierarchy as well, and it is chaos, ultimately, which is the funny thing, because they're all running around thinking that they're building something, but they're really all against each other. And this is what Jesus Christ was talking about in the Bible, about how can the kingdom, you know, divide its
family. Well, you know, this is interesting, too. Now, I don't know how true the story of Arizona Wilder is, okay? But she painted quite a horrible picture of what happens at a satanic ritual, and it's done through hierarchy, and it involves child sacrifice, and it involves the drinking of the blood of their victims, but it's done through hierarchy. In other words, the lower ones are not allowed to go until the higher ones have feasted first. Now, when you said the word Orthodox vampirism, that's the first thing I thought about, because that's the first time I actually saw it in a video, that it seems to be something that if there is a horrible dark side that very few can deny when they do the research on the subject, that this type of activity in fact goes on. Besides, in the Bible we had Nimrod, and believe you me, all of the information revolving around the descendants of Nimrod revolved around this child sacrifice, victimization, and all the things that go along with it. And they continue to this day, by the way. So,
absolutely, because they are looking for this pure energy thing, this elusive, you know, perfect sacrifice, this perfect feed of unexhausted creative life force that they can feed from Christ and from Christ's children. And, you know, they want to feed off that eternally instead of being blessed with eternal life from the Creator.
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show you how disconnected this group is and how these...
Well, I firmly believe if my parents didn't have the strong spiritual walk that they had and the prayer life that they had, my mom and my stepdad, that in the church that I was in, if I wasn't protected by their prayers, I strongly believe I would have been taken and sacrificed many years ago. Because I know, and part of my experience has been that they've been preparing me for being a sacrifice. That's what the whole thing leads up to. They pull you in, they tempt you in with love and light and all the yada yada. And what ends up happening is you get to a point where there's so many different entities controlling your perspective and your mind, and multiple dimensional is exactly what it comes down to, but then they cut it up beyond that. It's multiple entities, it's multiple, you know, it's all sorts of stuff. Sorry, I'm getting a little, I get a little emotional talking about it, because I have not, like I said, this is my first time coming out talking about the dark stuff publicly. And it has really upset me my whole life that people don't take this seriously, because it is so real and it does affect lives on levels that we are just walking around in denial of.
That's right. And by the way, Tara, just as a side note, since this is your first time discussing and bearing witness to things, and certain things I know you're going to want to talk about, and other things you may just want to peripherally go over or not speak to at all, I can only ask the questions, and you determine how far you want to go with any given answer. I just want to make sure that the listening audience has some type of an idea of how this all began, how it processed, and how you were able to cope with it to your present age. That's really the gist of what we're going to do and how Jesus Christ fit into this whole picture as time went on. You mentioned just a couple of minutes ago now that you had a biological father, and then you had a Christian stepfather. Now,
yes.
what was the dynamics that revolved around this biological father? Was this person being used by the dark side in order to create the dynamics that you got involved with?
No, I think it just comes down to spiritual battle. The fact that when my real father alienated the kingdom and became an atheist or whatever, I became easier prey for the enemy. He was no longer protecting me with prayer. And not only that, he didn't believe a word I said. And if I told him anything that had to do with my experience with the Holy Spirit, he would invalidate me and tell me that experience was not real, Jesus was not real, you know, all these things were not real. And when you're a young child and you're invalidated by one parent and told that these things aren't real, it makes it even harder to speak out. But especially about something so incredible like, oh my gosh, Mom, Dad, I went to summer camp and vampires attacked me. That is the biggest...
Oh.
Wet paper bag, load of crap story. You know, your kid comes home with, you just want attention. That was what I was told all my life, talking about this type of stuff, especially to my father, who was not saved and hated it because he didn't want me to talk about that sort of reality because he had rejected it.
Right. Okay. So now, was that the reason why your mother...
No. When she was pregnant with me, and this is what the reality is about the battle that's going on between the dark side and the fallen angels. They really are here to try and interbreed with the children of Christ's church and the kingdom and the women. And when she was pregnant with me, she actually experienced being attacked in her own room by a demon and held down on her bed. And you know, I'm sure you've heard testimony of just that icy grip and, you know, the room turning cold and not being able to move and crying out to Jesus to please, you know, intervene. And finally, you know, it stopped and Jesus saved her, but she was scared to death. And she knew, you know, she knew that was demonic. And she went to a church that was spirit-filled and, you know, had spiritual warfare and the Holy Spirit put into her belly because she knew, you know, that was even vulnerable. And there's generational curses and more personal reasons as to why I believe she was so vulnerable, but that's not, you know, something that I really want to talk about now. But generational curses and certain things that you have done in your life will make you more vulnerable to the severity of those types of attack, unfortunately.
Right.
So,
yeah. So in one sense, you're lucky to be alive.
In many senses, I'm lucky to be alive. I have supposedly tried to kill myself several times, starting when I was 15 years old, 13, 16, and then 25. And at the age of 25, the amount of drugs that I put into my body should have killed 15 horses. There's no way I should be alive. Absolutely no way. That was it. I was done. I took so many drugs, there was no way I was going to come back. And I'm telling you right now, that was the devil once again trying to kill me, once again trying to sacrifice me, and he just can't. Because this is my testimony. This is why I was put here on this earth, and this is why I was allowed to experience it, because it has given me strength and knowledge and understanding about spiritual battle and about healing that I would not be able to understand growing up in this world and this society with the environment that we're put into without those experiences. So although on one hand it's like, gosh, well, how could Jesus allow a child of, you know, in a Christian family that tries so hard to protect her experience these things, but at the same time, you know, we never take on more than we can bear. How did I cope with it? Only Jesus knows. You know? Obviously, I wasn't coping with it too well several times in my life.
Right.
But I was predestined, and I laugh when I read that verse in the Bible about, you know, in the end times, people will want to die and take their lives and won't be able to, and I swear that was it. I tried so many times, and I couldn't, and you know why? Because it wasn't really me that was trying, and it wasn't really the devil's life to take, and it wasn't even my life to take. It was Christ. Christ owned me and bought me with a price before he put me here.
And, well, yeah, this is, and you know, you have to understand, people listening to this will it's gonna they're gonna find this hard to either believe or understand or accept for that matter.
You know what? Of course they are, because it's the truth. And the truth hurts. And that's why it says in the Bible that when you understand the personal revelation of Christ, you read the book of Revelations, and you get what in the world is going on, it tastes so sweet in the mouth, but then it's bitter in the stomach because it hurts. Mm-hmm. Because the revelation of realizing what in the world is going on and why judgment has to happen is not pretty. Realizing that you're walking around in a society that is literally sacrificing children with the same money you're going to work all day to earn, and you are actually the slaves that run the bottom of the system that is resurrected to these pagan deities, and you spend your whole life doing this for them, and every Sunday you go to church and you give money covered in the blood of those children to God, and he's offended by it. You don't want to hear that. Of course not. Nobody does. But you know what? Every sin is forgiven. Even those who killed Christ will be forgiven if they ask for it. It is only the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost that will not be forgiven. And this is the warning. And the understanding of Christ is that we are unaware. We are victims. It is not my fault for being a part of this slavery society, for being a part of this disgusting system. It's not my fault. It's not my parents' fault. It's not their parents' fault. We are unknowing. We were victims. And Christ knows that, and Christ came to set us free. Realizing we are captives, that is wisdom. Realizing we're wretched, that's wisdom. Get over your pride. Leviathan, come out. I'll pull you out. That's what I'm talking about. Everyone's infected when they think they aren't. They're the ones. And this is what's okay. So difficult to understand.
Yes,
we're
it's
all affected.
Now. Because it's difficult to understand, and I assume you've got absolutely no support from anybody in your family other than perhaps your mother or stepfather, for that matter. But everybody else, I assume, did not buy into anything you were saying as possibly being true. And members of the church, I get the feeling that you didn't have any success
This is what I'm saying. I invite you. I want a researcher. I want somebody to come into my life. I want a legal team to go in and pull my medical files out of these hospitals and investigate it before they get a chance to do anything to manipulate them. I call them out. Let's go. Let's pull the files of the Palm Bay Police Department. Let's pull all the records at Southwest Junior High of all my notebooks and everything. Let's talk about reality. Let's talk about evidence. Let's talk about proof. Let's talk about a system that is flawed. I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
I want someone to help me, and I've been asking for it. And every time I ask for it, you know what I get? I get a trip to the local loony bin.
Yes, I know. Believe me, Tara, I do know this because I have had experience with certain abductees who have gone through similar type of things where they try to report something strange and unusual, and they're actually threatened that you must either shut up or they were threatened with going into a psychological facility. I know that for a fact.
If you look at the Roman guards' records of having Christ, they'll say, oh, Christ was out of control. Of course he was out of control, but he wasn't out of his own control. He was out of your control. And this is what scares these policemen and whoever it is you're trying to report to. When I'm staring at a policeman saying, I'm in danger of being kidnapped by a secret society and I need your help right now to help me make contact to someone that I trust in authority in a legal position because I feel my child's life is in danger, they're scared by the authority in my voice. I better stop talking crazy stuff now. I better sit down. And you know what? This is the truth. And this is the kingdom of God, and this is the clarification of the prophets and the saints, and this is what they declared, and this is what Jesus said to do, to call them out.
Well, I can see how you would be extremely frustrated, especially being a very intelligent young woman. Now, how did you go about providing some evidence or trying to prove that these horrendous aspects were happening to you? Were there any methods that you tried to use to try to convince people what was happening?
It's so difficult when you don't understand what's happening to you, which was my case for a long time. And then when you do begin to understand, you realize how serious the situation is, and that every time you do open your mouth, you're endangering reality for others around you.
Mm-hmm.
So you begin to do what I've done to survive, which is just send basically mixed messages in every single direction so that the enemy thinks I'm under control and I'm not, because I don't know who is safe to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally what I did. Now, I have a MySpace page, okay? And on this MySpace page, I have not come out as a Christian yet. I wanted to talk on this radio show and explain my MySpace page. And I want Christians to go to my MySpace page and see how it is. I want them to see. The experiences I've been talking about on my blogs, go to oldest to newest, start at oldest first, and you'll see my serious encounter with, you know, aliens. Now, I have not documented everything, of course not, but not on my MySpace page. But in general, you can kind of see the fashion that I went through, things that I really have been, you know, having experiences that I've been talking about. And now, a lot of my experiences and stuff is kind of funny because it's a MySpace page, and I actually have used them to send mixed information back and forth, which I think maybe Susan Ford would understand that, all that stuff. But what I'm trying to show here is this is the reality of where my mind was and what it went through. And now I'm working on transforming, you know, what I want to do is explain how I'm getting out of that, all the things I learned from the experience behind the scenes. When you realize all this dark stuff is going on, you realize there's a plan. You know, you realize that there's things around you that are happening, and I think and only God knows timing. Only God has perfect timing. And I have wanted to come out and just go forth several times, but you know what? I didn't have the support system. I didn't have the safety mechanisms in line. I didn't know anyone to even believe me, and I just don't want to, again, go through the experience of being threatened of losing my child.
Absolutely.
Because I'm coming out and saying the kingdom of heaven is here. Now, we've all got this stuff going on in our subtle bodies and our minds and whatever. Now, let's just get over it and get rid of it and move on. Get our wedding garments white. The angels are going to come forward and start doing this because it is the end time now, and the Holy Spirit is about to be anointed all over God's children. And these things have to occur, and there are certain angels. Now, there are fallen angels that are men. Do you understand this? Have people talked about this?
Fallen angels that are men, did you say?
Right, they seem human.
Oh, absolutely.
They look human. Right, okay.
They take
good
on the
angels.
Aspects of eating. Yeah. Yes.
There's good
we
angels that are human, too.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, in the Book of Enoch, it talks about a fallen angel is a shapeshifter, has the ability to appear in many different guises. And
absolutely.
And can very easily pass off as a man, and has done so. And this has been documented in many, many places when you're dealing with the fallen angels. Of course, we have this other phenomenon called the demons, which,
right,
again, is very hard for a lot of people to get their minds around unless they understand the dynamics that took place in Genesis 6:4.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed that. Matter of fact, this is one of the theses of our book that Richard Stout and I wrote, The Cursed Net. And a number of other people also that we've had people like this on the program, like Chuck Missler, Dr. Chuck Missler, who, you know, chapter and verse, try to give all of this information. It's all biblically oriented. So anybody who's disbelieving you, Tara, would have to, in effect, say, I don't believe what it says in the Bible.
Well, that's it.
That's
exactly it. And that's what people are saying, but most people aren't reading the entirety of the Bible. They're just reading whatever they're given on Sunday, or, you know, they don't want to put it together because it's too horrible to accept, honestly, is probably the reality of what the problem is.
And, yeah, as we discussed before, it does take a commitment. This is why even if people can intellectualize that maybe what they're saying on that program and the things that Joe Jordan is trying to show people as the unwanted evidence, if that were true, then maybe I would have to change my life because of it.
Exactly,
so
but
we don't want to
because we're lukewarm. We've become the nesting ground of unclean spirits, and they are happy and fat and in our skin and sitting on us in layers. And we're used to them. We don't realize it. Now, when you have the gift of discerning spirits, as I do, when I speak with somebody, if I talk to them long enough, and if the Holy Spirit reveals it to me, I'll know the different types of entities. I'll hear them communicating through the person's mind, and the person's not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds like schizophrenia, right? That's not schizophrenia. That's not.
Believe me.
That's a spiritual battle going on that I'm able to tune into because the mind of Christ knows. And the mind of Christ is telepathic, just like the mind of all these extraterrestrial fallen angelics in their tribes or whatever. You understand? We communicate together all the time and don't even realize it.
Yeah. Well, this is another thing that we came to the sad conclusion of, that familiar spirits are nothing more or less than an ongoing dynamic of the demons that are the souls of the bodies of the hybrids, which were called the giants way back when. And when they died, they were earth-bound. And those demons show up in the New Testament as the unclean spirits. And they know things because they follow generations right to the present day. And this is what people have a hard time trying to come to the grips of. And that's why when they listen to psychics and mediums and they believe they're talking to dead people, they don't understand that the psychic has a familiar spirit. And that's why it knows things about people's families.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Now, you get that through the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And that is one of the methods that the Holy Spirit uses to show people. Of course, it is a gift. That is a gift.
Yes. Do you know what? This gift was given to me as a child. I was given these gifts from Christ as a little girl. And my actual gifts of discerning spirits and of prophecy and those gifts of teaching and healing are the same gifts that the enemy has been trying to exploit for his purposes. Because the gifts of the Spirit are irrevocable. In other words, once they were given to me, then even if I rejected Christ, and even when I did, when I was 13 and, became enslaved by participating in satanic rituals, the devil tried to, and this spiritual battle was so real to me and so overwhelmingly in my face and in my ears and in my heart and in my reality to me because I had such a strong gift. And this is why it's so easy to convince people like me, children like me, who are given the gift from Christ as small children, didn't understand it. The church who even passed it on to us didn't understand what they were passing on to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we grow up with no answers for it, and no understanding of it by the people who passed it to us. And the only explanation comes from a community of people who are telling you you're psychic, you're multidimensional, you're an indigo, you're whatever. And these labels are all different ways of saying, oh, you're one of the kingdom. You're one of the little seeds, one of the little good seeds. You know, they're trying to make their little fallen angelic children, but God put his good seeds here too. He put the oil out in his children, and it gives you these senses to perceive. And they can be used because they don't go away just because you walk away from Christ.
And people don't realize also that these so-called star beings are nothing, and the benevolent ETs are nothing more than the fallen angels under particular guises that are trying to fool humanity about.
Okay, if a fallen angel came to you after, as my experience was in 2005 when I first tried to come home, and I cried out to Christ, and I said, I get it, this is about forgiveness, that's all it's really about is love and forgiveness, I accept myself, I accept you, Jesus, please come into my life. And, you know, within moments, not even within an hour, I had the most miraculous vision of an angel of light come to me. And anyone who knows me personally has heard all about my angel of light story, oh, angel of light, you know. And it was just so magnificent. I was just filled with so much. And the angel showed me shapes and wonderful and mysteries and things. It was just amazing. I felt so fantastic. And I was slowly but surely inducted back into the occult.
Yeah.
Now, if a fallen angel had appeared to me in the form of a red guy with two horns and said, hey, let's go do it and sacrifice some puppies, I would not have talked to that angel. I would not have wanted anything to do with him. That's how the devil works. He comes to you as an angel of light.
True.
He comes to you with all the love and the answers and tells you what you need to know. Now, my biggest thing was that I really wanted to be understood for my experiences. It was, you know, there was times in my life when I stayed in that world because I felt more accepted or understood there by the demons than I did by real people.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least they heard and saw the things I heard and saw.
True. sure.
And understood it. Right. And that's the same type of thing that the devil will play to and go, oh, well, we understand in this community, and it's all about love, and all these answers and information, you just need more understanding, or you just need to clear your mind and not think more, whatever their solution is. But it's always, always, always going to be something good. It's going to come across, and it's going to make you feel good, and it's going to give you false miracles and false healings, too, even, in your life, right in front of you.
Yeah, Tara, that was the reason I wanted you to listen to the interview I did with Kevin Unterberger, both on March 2nd and I believe it was May 11th, two interviews I did, because that very thing you just said, he was victimized completely by these beings. He thought they were his friends.
Of course.
And they showed him things that actually did come true, like, for instance, 9/11. They actually showed him things. So when after it happened, he was, in effect, still trusting them because he was showing them, quote-unquote, cool things. And it took him another 2 years, by his own testimony, to realize and to see through their deceptions, because they're so beguiling and so seductive. And so
absolutely,
whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and they'll play to whatever you you want the most. And for me, also, it's intellect. I want answers. I'm curious about everything.
Yeah.
It's just like Eve in the garden, you know. And the devil knew that, and he came up and said, "Oh, you want to know? You want to know why, Terry? You want to know why? Let me show you. Let me show you why. Let me show you how. You can do it all too. God loves you, and God wants you to do it all too because you're God too."
Yeah, but you know one thing I noticed about that, because I'm the same way, Sarah, and in a sense, they tried that trick on me too. But I'll tell you one thing. They'll never answer all of your questions.
They'll just create more questions.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Go ahead.
Do you know why that is? Because we can never get the answer, period. We can never grasp the answer. You want to know Tetragrammaton? You'll never know it. That's the point of it. That's the whole point behind it. This four-letter name for God is something that's unknowable. You can't put it in letters. You can't speak it. You'd shatter yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And so you want to start asking? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say a follow-up in what you were saying. We brought that point up on another program where if you want to know the secret of this wonderful universe that I created, come to me for the secret. Don't go to secret societies or some guru or somebody along those lines. Or
absolutely. And the worst, I mean, it's dangerous no matter where you go, because you're going to either go down one of two paths. You're going to go down a path of, and they call it ascension. I believe personally it's a beautiful explanation for what is going on, quite physically and metaphysically and spiritually, to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. But they are distorting this, turning it into something that you're creating yourself, or creating false miracles for you to make you think you're having an experience. It just depends on you, yourself, and if you actually have the Holy Spirit or not. It doesn't matter. It's all a delusion. But you're going to go down one of two paths. You're going to go down a path of inner initiation where you understand that you're not going to succumb to someone else being your master or guru, or lord, or whatever. And so you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go down this path of the inner mysteries, but I'm going to go down it by only going in through the inside. You know, I'm not going to actually join one of those things. But it's still, this is dangerous because you're being led through the initiations and such by beings that are still demons and fallen angelics, and they're just leading into another labyrinth. And you'll know this because you'll see where these people go to in their websites and stuff, and they talk about this stuff, and it's just mass confusion. And it's just more the devil trying to convince them that they're part of everything, and this is the biggest lie, is trying to get everyone to believe that we're all part of the same thing, that you and me and the animals and earth, that we're all one, and we're all changing and evolving and ascending into this beautiful, glorious reality. And wrong. We're not all one. There's four types of flesh. It says it in Genesis. There's the birds in the air, there's the fish in the sea, there's the beasts in the fields, and there's the man and the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Four types of flesh.
Right.
Me and the birds, we're not one.
Definitely.
Me and the fish in the sea,
yeah.
We're not one, you know?
Right.
And when you start talking to these animals and hearing their voices and their lengthy explanations about what their animal kingdom has been doing, such and such and such, it can be quite seducing and even it's a compassionate story. And your heartstrings are pulled, and it's beautiful and love and whatever. But the truth is that if those beings were meant to be in a power position right now on Earth, they would be in a man's body. They're not. That's why they're demons sitting in the body of a bird or in the body of a dog or whatever, and talking to you or projecting their voices onto it. It's all a big masquerade, charade, and these people think that it's really Mother Nature and Mother Earth leading the dance, the cosmos.
Tara, now on this program, we've had many people testifying to how they use the name of Jesus Christ to thwart an abduction. Now, in your particular situation, how did you go about rebuking any of the entities that have tried to do?
Because of my level of exposure, the tool that I know in my heart has protected me and has always worked when I've come under the heaviest depression, when I physically cannot move. I claim the blood of Christ all over me, all in my body. I just start throwing the blood of Christ everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they hate that.
And they
hate it. It's
now,
the
they
worst.
Hate that.
They hate
when
that.
They're
not
going to
drink your blood if you've got the blood of Christ in you.
Right.
They don't want that.
So in other words, using that defensive mechanism, you've actually prevented them from going any further.
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%.
Now we're getting down to the end of the program, Tara, but I do want to ask you, did you have any witnesses to what has happened to you that can verify, yes, Tara is not losing it? She certainly has.
I do. Sure. And not only that, I have had witnesses to the psychic realm and, you know, all the synchronicities, and my friends get the same types of dreams that I get. And, you know, of course, yes, but I do have people now that know that I'm not losing my mind and that there's something very valid going on here. Most of the people who have known me all my life have just learned to dismiss me, but people who have only known me for the past few years absolutely know. People in Ireland, when I went over to Ireland, absolutely never thought I was insane.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it validated completely that I was an incredibly gifted psychic. You know, and a healer. And the truth is that all of those experiences were being led up to being able to have a testimony and a story to tell and be able to relate to all sorts of different communities of people. But, there's, like I said, there's witness to lots of things that I have experienced that are real to me and real to other people. Other people witness this stuff all the time. You know, I mean, as far as the fact that it's happening to me. They have all my life. People in the church that I grew up with knew there was a spiritual battle for me going on. They tried. They sent me to live with even a man locally who's, was dedicated his life at the time to spiritual battle. And I stayed with him, and he tried to help me. They knew that it was really spiritual warfare. But then I think they gave up, or I gave up, or whatever. I don't know. You know, I decided that this wasn't working, or I got tricked again and went through later years in teenagehood. But no, absolutely, there have been people who have known this is really a spiritual battle. But,
right.
You know, I honestly wasn't meant to. Okay, I'm sorry. We're at the end.
Yeah, I was just going to say, are you still being attacked spiritually in any way, shape, or form as of right now?
When we talked, Joe Jordan called me earlier before the interview. Before the interview, they were throwing all sorts of things at me. I was suddenly overcome with just severe hunger and exhaustion, and then my throat felt like it was closing up, and my head hurt real bad. You know, yeah, they tried, but I have to do battle. I do battle. I just say, Jesus, come, bring your Holy Spirit, release me, and it does, and he does, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, they tried. The devil hasn't stopped attacking me. I am just beginning my testimony. Do you understand? I am just now coming out of this
right.
world, of this realm. I have been in this realm and scared to come out for quite a while. Now, I have made my inner commitment to Christ. But because of certain things going on, you know, I have waited to actually come forward. So now that I'm coming forward, of course I'm going to be attacked. I'll be attacked heavier now than ever before. Like, this is, are you kidding me?
Tara, you hear me?
Yes.
Even though you're still getting attacks from coming out with the truth and sharing it so others can hear it, you also have a peace about you that because you now understand what this is and you now know the authority over it, that you can continue in this fight as a powerful soldier in this war, in this spiritual battle. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. I know that I am such a powerful spiritual warrior. And once I am able to teach other people who are interested in spiritual battle, the things that I know, well, there's going to be some serious battling going on. Because it says in the Bible that what you bind in heaven, you bind on earth. And what you loose in heaven, you loose in earth. And I have found out from personal experience that if a fallen angel attacks you, you can release a good one. You know, we have power over them. And what we, you know, when we go to do battle against the enemy, we have to first bind the strong men. And there is actually a way to do battle. And that is strong. And I know that I understand it in my heart. And I'm real excited about it because I know that I'm going to help other people learn some stronger methods. And they're going to help me learn. And it's just going to be an explosion of spiritual battle.
Right. Well, speaking of strongmen, I know you have many opinions about some of the New World Order hierarchy that are running our world, or seemingly running our world. Would you like to comment on this and name some names, if possible, on as to how many, how they may be linked to the dark side in this, what I would frame as the cursed net?
You know, it's just so disgusting. It's pretty much everywhere at this point. So I don't know how to even begin with something like that. There are certain people, certain things that I do know. Yeah, I'm not ready to go there at this point.
Okay. All right. I know what Susan Ford, as Bryce Taylor, that was her pen name, and thanks for the memories, had no problem naming names, but she had gone through hell before that. And,
yeah, I'm not sure of her situation. What she was used for, I think, is different purposes that I was used for, because I don't know. I think maybe she may have been like a sexual. Is that true? She was like more of a sexual mule than information mule, or I don't know. I'd have to read her story. I do know some things going on as far as, you know, real people behind the scenes and stuff. But I feel like the biggest problem with this right now is kind of focusing on too much of that stuff, because this is part of a snare as well, is getting caught up in worrying about this person, and then fighting over it and trying to prove and disprove. And then what we're failing to realize is that the source of the information that we're pulling from to try and prove and disprove is rigged. We just need to accept that pretty much the whole system is infiltrated. And at this point, the Kingdom of Christ and the Church of Christ is coming from the inside out. And if you're in a system of control that is being used right now and dominated by the world, that is not God's system. That's not God's hierarchy. And when I look at the system, when I see even the local police force, I know that many of them are like slaves to people at high levels, and they don't even realize. And it's sad. Yeah, I know of one particular person who is notorious, who I know was specifically trying to mess with me, that had access to me, that did control or mess with my mind. However, the Holy Spirit released me from it quite quickly. This was the most recent person who tried to manipulate me. Yeah, I know who that person is. And that person's urinating all over themselves right now because they can't even believe that I was able to stop what was happening.
Okay.
You know, absolutely. I know. But no, I'm not ready to do that right now.
Okay, good. And you're not ready to do certain things, I know. That's why I'm not pressing you on too many specifics, Tara. Although I'm curious as to what exactly you did say in your MySpace page. Did you write under your full real name, or how?
Oh yeah, I mean, my name's on there. My title is Multidimensional Indigo.
Oh, interesting title.
Yeah. Well, it's not. I've been out there in the community, and I've been weaving the web of information and knowledge, trying to come to a more holistic understanding of the big picture of what was going on. All I could do is look at it from my perspective, and I'm just one person experiencing my experience. And Susan Ford, well, she's related to somebody very high up in government, in the Ford industry, right? The car. This is the same family, right? So, you know, she had maybe a different type of perspective. I had the perspective that I had. So the way I got information was by kind of infiltrating spiritually lots of different areas and different networks. And so I paraded myself around as somebody doing this for quite some time.
Right.
And go ahead.
Yeah, I have actually two things going through my mind at the same time here. First of all, I was thrown off a little bit by multiple dimensional indigo. Sounds like a new age type of thing.
It is.
It would sort of like attract a new age audience to see, well, what is this?
Exactly.
Edge up? Yeah. So that's why you did
yes.
it, to attract those kind of people that maybe see the other side of the coin, so to speak, right?
Absolutely, because in my heart, I want to explain to them what's been happening to them from the perspective
right.
that I've been through it. I know because I was there with them. Not
okay.
because I'm just a Christian who just doesn't get it, but because I'm someone who was a multiple dimensional indigo too. You know, I went through this
mm-hmm.
stuff. I experienced it. And when you go to the kingdom of Christ, you don't have to get rid of these beautiful
mm-hmm.
spiritual experiences. You get to
right.
keep those. But now they're going to become angelic experiences.
Oh,
and there's
yeah.
going to be real truth, and there's going to be experiences with Christ himself.
Yeah.
Right. And these experiences are going to be refreshing and healing
mm-hmm.
and renewing and more powerful. But I am not
right.
going to take away from the reality of what they are experiencing. And like I said, I'm just now coming out, and just now coming forward. I've just kind of laid low, let my MySpace page chill, because I want people to see where I've come from and the reality and my truth. I want to expose myself
right.
for what has been going on, and then make a stand for the kingdom and not turn back.
Well, I'll tell
Byron,
you something. Yes, Joe.
This what she's talking about here is very similar to myself still being involved with MUFON. It gives an avenue to where you can get their attention, to where they'll listen, and you'll be able to share the truth with them. We talked about this before.
Yes, we did.
My membership in MUFON still gives me the ability to work from within, because it's very hard when you come to the truth to be able to work from the outside trying to get in. But by keeping these titles, we're able to have ourselves recognized to where at least we'll be listened to long enough to be able to plant a seed of truth from the inside. And when you're dealing in battle, it's easier to work from the inside to get to the sources than it is from the outside trying to get in.
And people who have been through these experiences will know from my poetry, know from some of the journal entries that I made with these different entities and their names. They'll understand because they had similar experiences too, and they'll believe me when I say that Christ is actually the answer, because they'll know I had beautiful experiences as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, I agree with that totally. I think that's a great way to go about doing things. And as a matter of fact, Joe, as you may remember, when we had Marshall on.
Yes.
And Marshall, I was privy to a beautiful book that he was in the process of writing. I understood what he was trying to do. I quizzed him on it just to make sure that he was using his fiction as a form of faction to attract those people on the outside and draw them in to the Christian. But he didn't let on that.
No, you didn't. You didn't find out till the end.
You didn't find out to the very end. So you were 80% into the book, and you were wondering, what's Marshall's really up to here? You know, because... and I thought it was clever, though, because when it got to the end, you found out what he was up to. But I think that's a very good way. And by the way, Tara, if you're thinking of writing a book, and I hope you do someday, where you can start to really get into some of these nitty-gritty details.
I would love to. I'm ready to write a book right now. I'm ready to put together, you know, lectures talking about whatever people need to know. I know so much about all this stuff, and I'm ready now to come forward, to have the Holy Spirit continue renewing my mind and restoring all of my gifts and step forward and shed light in the areas that are darkest.
Sure.
Well, Tara, we're glad to have you start right here on Byron's show on Cursed Net. I mean, this is your first coming out, and I hope you can see how much help you're going to be to other people that listen to this show. And there's quite a following that follow these testimonies that we have on here. And we're glad to have you aboard, you know, and we're honored to have you first come out here and start on this path to be able to help others.
Okay, thank you very much for having me. I'm glad that you were there for me.
And Tara, as I was mentioning to you a few days ago, this is how we started. Our book actually formulated as an internet group of essays that seemed to take on a life of its own. It wasn't always called The Cursed Net. It was called The Bite of the Serpent. And then Greg Messina had this brilliant idea, why don't you make it a book? So I redrafted the whole thing from an internet form, and we turned it into the book with Richard Stout and myself, and we called it The Cursed Net. But we started off on the internet, just like Nicole Malone. When she wrote her book, she offered it freely on the internet, A Modern Guide to Demons and Fallen Angels, and I found that to be an excellent book. And now we have Josh, who's going to be coming back next week. He's in the process of writing a book also. So this is what I'm saying. When you have...
What I would like to do is you know, publish like a book of children's songs or poetry or something that is just chock full of spiritual battle. That's it. The lines, everything in the verse is just, we are setting angels to do battle. And I think that will be a really fun way to just seriously do some work for the kingdom. Something just simple and fun like that would do so much good in those realms.
Let me just say, give a personal note here, Tara, okay? Back in my heyday, I was an English teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most fun things we did, I was trying to get kids to love poetry. And that's a very difficult thing to do if you have a group of kids and they have a knee-jerk reaction to things. Just like people don't want to think that their evolution may be wrong. Just a knee-jerk reaction, so they'll dismiss anything that may counter that. So I came up with this idea of getting this really cool book. It was called Reflections on a Watermelon Tickle. And it was I never forget this book. It was green. But you see, what made the book so attractive to kids was that the poem itself was in the shape of the thing it was trying to present to the children. So if it was about a whale, the poem was written in the shape of a whale, if you can conceive of that. And it was so ingenious because it actually got the kids to like poetry. So it was almost like it wrote itself. The lesson wrote itself. How do I get the kids to write poetry? Find an interesting book on how great books are written about poetry, and then let it just have a life of its own. So if that's what your intent is, believe you me, kids will eat it up.
It'll take me. It would. I mean, I could write something like that in 2 weeks. You know, it's just a matter of having time to do it. And I really just want to dedicate my time to put this stuff together. And, you know, and I want to write a book about my experiences, about my story. I want to write a book on healing. I want to, you know, healing and the experiences and expose some reality of what goes on. There's so many stories that I have from these experiences to say. I just don't know how to go about doing it. And it's like, from my perspective, I feel like my story is so fantastical, and the fact that it's real, I should really be selling it to, like, someone who's going to give me some money and seriously make something out of it, because it's a real story that's verifiable of demonic possession and haunting that an entire community and church has seen over and over and again in somebody's life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And my mind being healed is a verifiable healing, you know, that can be, you know, verified as far as the psychiatric community is concerned from their perspective. And I would like to, you know, assure people it's the healing is because the problem was demonic in nature.
Yes. You know, I was fascinated when you told me that you actually willfully allowed yourself to be victimized. And
I think you get, when you go through this stuff, you start to get like kind of Stockholm syndrome as well. And what I was trying to explain earlier, too, was those feelings of, you know, you become so alienated from everyone because nobody believes you or understands you, or you don't have the access to your mental faculties to express yourself properly. So you have these experiences, and they do things that sometimes, you know, they're not so bad or whatever, and you sympathize with them. They tell you that they just want your help, or they need you for this, or there's a really good explanation of the trick you, you know, with false doctrine. And then there's times when you just go, like I did not that long ago, where I realized the actual reality of the mess that I was in, when I realized that I actually was under the control of people accessing me from, you know, a perspective that I hadn't even really understood, and I realized the reality of the danger I was in. I decided to go along with certain things so that they thought that I was still under their control, even though I wasn't, until I could come up with enough Christians who believed what happened, that what I said, that they couldn't just kill me off without anybody knowing what happened.
Yeah.
And so by talking to you tonight, I've achieved that. Do you understand that?
Good.
I need you to understand that my MySpace page right now, if you go and look on it, I'm going to look like a witch, basically, like someone who's in the occult, you know, a new age, crazy, just confused person. But I've had to maintain that to an extent because my MySpace page is not private. My life is not private. I do things when I leave my home, we go certain places or whatever, I have an attack to make it look like I'm still under their control. Why? Because the Holy Spirit allows me to know what it is that they think I'm doing, but I know I'm saved on the inside, that there's a plan. And I knew that people were going to be there and that I was going to be able to step forward. And I was just, you know, sowing the seeds, just waiting for the right moment. And then there it was, Joe fell in my lap, and it was like, okay, wow, now.
Right. Well, Byron, as far as that goes, yes, Joe.
Sounds like we got a number. Sounds like we have an undercover agent for the Lord.
Exactly, and that's how I have felt for a long time. Is like I was undercover, and this is kind of, and I even had dreams about that sort of thing, and I feel like I was used as kind of an undercover agent for the Lord.
Right. Well, Jesus Christ had an expression for these type of people. Call them fishers of men.
That's what I
want to
be.
Right. And he used a fisherman, but now today we use a witch. But I've seen your picture, Tara. You're not fooling me. You don't look like a witch. So you'll really fool them.
No. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I know. Here we are. I write this book about all the facades that the enemy uses in order to trick mankind into going down a cul-de-sac that leads to nowhere. And he's very, very good at it. That's why I keep referring to these movies like The Sting and The Truman Show and all these things, because they're all facades and they're all trying to trick you about something that's not true. And it keeps you in the matrix. And by the way, we are in a matrix. Every time I look around, I can't believe how you stop 10 people on the street, 9 people think it's a big universe with plenty of entities out there. Well, that's the matrix, folks. And you don't realize what a matrix it is until you start doing a little research into the young Earth universe that I have only recently done. And I've been very impressed. And that's why I keep mentioning these books like Dr. Jonathan Safferty. It's just Refuting Compromise, or the one I just mentioned in today's introduction. And these are good for kids, too. You talk about things that are good for kids, the Genesis Files. It wasn't written for people with master's degrees. It was written by very intelligent people, well illustrated, to show you very simple points about how you've been buffaloed about the theory of evolution for the last 60 or 70 years. It's unbelievable. This is a matrix. And it's fooling many, many people, unfortunately.
The delusion is coming from the stars. It is being wrapped around us, quite literally. If you are open to being trapped in that, if you don't have Christ inside you providing you the light, you will be trapped in that matrix. You're right.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, St. Paul did have something very interesting to say about that. I saw it today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, he says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ."
Amen.
I'm looking at this and I'm saying, holy mackerel, this is exactly what Creation Ministries is doing right now to get people to understand that you've been buffaloed into believing this evolution crap because it looks like it's real. Well, the alternative doesn't sound like it could possibly be true, even though
but
God can do everything.
That's why God went through so much trouble to get the testimony of Christ out there to the entire world at this time so that we could, A, discern the times, and B, realize that we would be under a heavy attack with grand delusion. And the only way to know the truth would be to know the word of God, which is Christ our Lord. And that is the only truth, because in this world, it is just a madhouse right now of illusions. This whole thing has been turned into a big old magic show, from the satellites in the sky to the camera systems on the ground to the mirrors in the sky to all the other stuff that they have rigged up there to affect the way our reality looks and the technology that they're using to affect it and the weather. They have turned this thing into a show. And that's the deception.
Yeah.
To step away from that and go into your heart, and the truth will set you free.
Yes. Now, what I'd like to do, because we are coming to the end, Tara, is offer you a welcome back anytime that you feel so disposed, and once you're perhaps ready to go to the next level of explaining just how this whole Satanic ritual operation works, how it didn't beat you, and how you want to expose it for what it is, regardless of the sensitivity of what you need to perhaps talk about when you're ready to do so. Okay? Now, whether it's when you're...
I will, and what I would like... Yeah, I would. What I would like to talk about is kind of less of pointing fingers and more of, on a grand scale, what the plan of attack is and what's going on a worldwide basis between the different organizations, kind of a more holistic approach to the big picture, okay?
I don't like to point fingers either, because you got to remember, we hate the sin, but we pray for the sinner. That's right.
And also, you have a very, and I believe that just like me, there are more than just people like me who are undercover for God. I know there are men of God who are deeply embedded into some of these places on purpose, because that's how God has asked, that's what he's asked them to do for whatever reason. And I do believe that. But for the most part, just about everyone is pretty infiltrated. It's pretty sick. This whole kind of earth is set up like a huge sacrifice system. But this is the thing. If you can realize what it is they're up to, then you'll see it as being and bearing evidence to the witness that the kingdom is right around the corner, and there's certain things we're supposed to be doing to get ready for it. Now, the people in the occult community understand this to an extent, but the Christian church doesn't. The people in the occult community who are doing it without the blessing of Christ, and guess what? When Christ returns, they're going to end up in hell because they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. The people in the church are going to go, oh, crap, Christ is back. I didn't get my wedding garment ready, and my oil lamp isn't full, and I don't understand that what happened. That's
well,
not
they
what happened.
There's
certain things that need to be known, certain realizations that need to be come to. To know what the dark side is up to is only for one purpose, and that's to get confirmation that, yes, the kingdom is at hand. Now do what you need to do. Repent and get back to the first works.
Right. Well,
you know,
I will
get
say
ready.
Amen to that. Right. Amen to that. And the only thing I would advise people to do, if you want to get your act together, read the parable of the five wise virgins and the five unwise virgins, and put yourself in the position of either one or the other, and then you may understand what type of a Christian you really are. And that, I think that could go for just about anything in relationship to what we are dealing with now in the end times, or what some people frame as the latter days. But what you just said there is a very is a wake-up call for people who think that they are walking the walk, when in fact they may be just talking the talk and going through rituals. But what are they really doing as far as
they're using even saying Jesus, but at the same time they're incorporating things that are not of Jesus, and they're being infiltrated by unclean spirits, demons, devils, and fallen angels. And getting our wedding garment ready, there's multiple layers of understanding of that. And to me, it's about physically doing something, physically getting them out of your body, physically and spiritually getting them out of your spirit and out of your all of your subtle energy bodies and all the different dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And becoming pure and meeting with Christ.
Sure. Well, I agree with that. And Joe, do you have any last question for Tara before we wrap up?
Not a question, just a comment. I got to say, this has been a powerful testimony for this show. And Tara, I thank you for coming on with us. And I think that you're really going to plant some good seeds for our listeners out there that are still dealing with this kind of experience. And you're able to show them that there is a name and authority over these entities. There is a hope. The one thing that we've been able to offer people in this field that nobody else has been able to offer is hope. And that's one thing I can see right here. I can see through your testimony that this is what you're offering here for people, and this is what these people need to hear.
Absolutely.
Well, with that said, all I can say, Tara, is have a good night, peaceful night, hopefully.
Thank you. I just wanted you to tell me. Oh, Nicole Malone. That was the girl's name who wrote that book.
Tara, I'll put you in contact with her. She works with a lot of the people that we work with that have had these testimonies. She's great to work with. She's in Roswell, New Mexico. I'm sitting here chatting with her online as we're speaking right now, by the way.
Yeah,
she's been listening to
great.
The show. But she looks forward to talking with you, and you'll enjoy talking with her. You're about the same age. And she is high intelligence also, and you guys will have a good time. So I'll make sure you guys get hooked up.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I know we're going to check out.
Right. And Joe can also do that with Marshall.
Yeah, sure. Kevin Untenberger also.
And Kevin, right, I have Kevin's number. So then when you're ready, after you listen to the March 2nd and or the May 11th program and you'd like to speak to Kevin, Kevin is a bulldog. He's such a nice man. He's not in Joe's camp, quote unquote, but he's from the same cloth. And all he wants to do is share his experiences and talk to the people who have been victims and share their experiences and hopefully go on together and spread the word about the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And what could be better than that? So, and that's part of what we try to do here is bring people together so they can go out and show the world that there's something much more than what MUFON may be presenting as the answer to the UFO and abduction phenomenon.
Right, absolutely.
And I don't want to name names, but I'm sorry.
I will get to there, but you got to play, you know, if you're playing poker, you're not going to play your hand from the get-go, you know?
No, that's for sure. And make sure you wear dark glasses. But anyway, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to both of you. And, Joe, we'll be back next week with Josh.
Okay.
He's another one of those wonderful people who will be expanding on some of the thoughts he had in the June 15th program and also giving some insight maybe into some of the things that Tara was speaking about this evening. So I'm looking forward
sure.
to that too. You know?
I'm sure.
So, well, anyway, good night, everybody. And to all, I just say, have a peaceful good night and a fruitful tomorrow. Good night now.
Good night, Byron. Good night, Tara.